How you doing?
Fucking Jake. <Good.
laughs> Fine, I'm glad we have spontaneously all started talking now.
Yes. Skype worked at the exact amount of time that we wanted it to.
Yeah, I'm really happy that I didn't go watch that game.
That
was kind of... Yeah, what was the final?
40-17.
Wow.
It was quite the stinker.
So I guess we have to kind of explain that we're all three in different parts as well. So, I don't know how you get Chiefs games in Texas.
It's called the First Row sports.eu, and then it's clicking through a bunch of nudie and spammy links, and then you can watch, like, people will record their DirecTV TV stuff and then stream it online, and you gotta go in there and fish around and you can find it, and what's even cooler is that they'll even do like the Red Zone channel. So
yeah, I don't have Red Zone anymore, I found out. So I think it's not that. How much more is it? Because I know, Tim, it's like $5 a month extra?
It's $40 for the whole season.
Okay. So, yeah, that may be, it's a good investment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like when we do the math equation for like the $5 DVDs with the movie collections. You know, it's like, well, that's about 90 cents a movie. It's like, well, this would be about, 3 cents a touchdown? I don't know.
I don't know what that works out to, but it's a good channel for when your team has a really nice first half and then immediately goes in the tank. It's like,
well, yeah, your text sounded pretty good, and then I saw the score.
For a while, and then they remembered they were the Chiefs or something.
Yeah. Well, I started watching the Red Zone channel, too, and started getting ready for the episode.
Yeah, I decided to do some research. I watched a little of the Colts and Bears. I wanted to see how Andrew Luck did. Mm-hmm. And then I was also switching between the Saints and Redskins because I have Robert Griffith in my fantasy league.
Oh, that's a nice pick.
I didn't really pick him. The computer automatically. I was going for Brady, but he did okay. He looked pretty good.
He looked pretty sharp.
Breeze kind of came on at the end. I was a little worried, but then he like did some things at the end which made me happy, so... But I don't know. I gotta warn you. I will be checking my fantasy team during the show. So
no, I just checked it for the first time before you guys called. I was actually sitting here, kind of thumbing through a Doctor Who omnibus comic that I had,
and then thumbing through your pockets and your pants, right?
There's not a whole lot in there. There's no money. There's no meat. There's nothing.
Well, I did.
Just the empty pants.
I did pull out a tasty tome that I put on the Facebook page for Uncle Mike's original fart book. So
I know I posted on that.
And then and then I also got ready about eating some leftover hot buffalo wings and drinking some beer. So I'm totally ready for this episode. This episode.
You know what I end up eating?
Yes.
I don't know why I did this. I bought at Trader Joe's, you can buy hard boiled eggs.
Oh, yes.
And let's just say I was really hungry for them last night. And I ate a lot of them and some hummus.
we'll do you in though.
So is that's a good segue to one of the topics of today?
But you should get some pink pickled eggs.
Oh man,
what are pink pickled eggs?
They're just,
are they with the bean juice?
I don't know what they're pickled with, but they are red, and they have an interesting taste to them.
Is it like sriracha? Is it hot? Like kimchi?
No, it's not spicy. It tastes vinegary. Is what it tastes like. It tastes like really strong vinegar. And then the egg has kind of got this weird rubber texture to it.
I told you that I've been hard-boiling eggs and pickling them. Like, kind of back to my old throwback to my pool hall days and when I was a kid. Remember how you used to go to bars and you would...
What are you pickling with?
Well, just mainly the juice from, like, bread and butter pickles and jalapeno juice and some hot sauce. And then I hard-boil eggs and I let them set for, I don't know, I think about 4 or 5 days the last time. But I was talking with someone that... my buddy... at work, and I was telling him about it, then he was going to start pickling like some vegetables. I'm like, I just want to do eggs. Because when I was a kid, if you would go to like a pool hall or like a bar or something, they would always have a jar of pickled eggs. We might have talked about this on the podcast before, like, oh, pickled eggs again?
I don't know about that.
My dad told me that at the pool hall he used to go to, they would soak the eggs in, like, Slim Jim. Like, you know, they would have, like, the beef jerky sticks, but they were, I guess, in some sort of water. And then when the Slim Jims were all out, then they would take the hard-boiled eggs and put them in there. So it was like hard-boiled eggs pickled in beef jerky juice. I don't know if that sounds good or disgusting to you guys.
Wow. That does sound pretty amazing.
Yeah. But so, Hoke, that picture of your food, was that from Saturday from college?
Yeah, I was watching on the old KC College Game Day blog. I was watching some football, and since I'm not going out to bars anymore, I wanted to bring home the bar food experience. And also because I can now do streaming online instead of going to bars to watch three games at once. You know, I'm like, I'm staying at home. So, yeah, I made buffalo wings yesterday, and one of them was honey barbecue. One of them was just regular hot wing sauce. Another one I did Jamaican jerk chicken. Wow. And the hot sauce was weird because I put in some stuff with the original Juan, I guess, facility out over at Southwest Boulevard in Kansas City. I used the bomb, which is this ghost pepper hot sauce. So I used that, and then I used this local thing called Tears of Joy. It's going to be Tears of Joy here in about an hour. Then it's going to be, it was a tequila lime, so it was like hot sauce with like a lime twitch to it. But for some reason, when I mixed all that with some Worcestershire sauce, you know, actually, if you go to those...
It exploded.
Well, I exploded later on.
My kitchen exploded.
Oh, man. Oh, so, like, yeah, so it ended up being, like, a slow burn. Like, it wasn't really spicy up front, but then, like, about a minute later, you would start sweating, and then you'd be like, what the hell is happening? For some reason, it was in such a way, it was cooked in such a way, and I don't know how I did it. This is the first time I made buffalo wings, and, like, it was a slow burn, and I thought it would be, like, really hot up front, but it wasn't. And then the Jamaican jerk, I guess, so Jamaican jerk is like the seasoning, I guess, you can buy that like McCormick sells, but we couldn't find it down here in Texas. So it was like, what the fuck? And,
there's no Jamaicans in Texas?
No, there isn't.
What?
It's too hot for them. It's too dry. And,
only at the music festivals. That's it.
That's right.
Yeah. And they show up for that.
And they couldn't find us. So finally, you know, looking in the store, it's like, okay, you know, we gotta have them at some store. So, you know, looked online and then landed on the Wikipedia article when it was like, oh, hey, Jamaican jerk is a type of seasoning and here's what all makes it. So it's like allspice, some kind of hot pepper that they didn't have, and then like thyme and like fucking nutmeg and cinnamon and stuff. So I was like, the hell of it, I'm just gonna make it. I want it. So what I ended up doing is I kind of switched things around a little bit. I bought some habanero peppers and some hatch peppers. I chopped them up, and then I threw all the seasoning together in a pan. I sauteed it, and then I put like about six pumpkin scoops of butter in it and made a sauce that went on the buffalo wings. And it turned out to be pretty fucking good. It was
great. You've had the jerk chicken before, so you could compare it. You could say...
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so you were like, yeah, this... I mean, so it tasted pretty true to what you remembered.
Yeah, and I think the two ingredients that you really need to have is allspice and, like, some kind of a hot pepper in it. Because then that's your sweet and spicy at the same time kind of deal. So
yeah. So
I ate all that, and we had leftovers today, so I was like, well, we're going to be talking about farts today. Might as well eat some buffalo wings and get ready.
So is that the best we can do for a segment? I think it's a pretty choice little segment. We talked about pickled eggs and hot sauce.
Well, we also
cannon fodder.
So I'm drinking beer, and that's always a good little like ferment. That's a good ground lay work to do. But this fascination with farts is kind of an underground thing, right? I mean,
I thought it was universal.
Well, I don't know why people are fascinated with farts.
I have to say, you know, with no matter how bad my day is going and stuff. On my phone, I have this is so sad. I've recorded those sounds that I sent two of them to use in that great remix last week.
Yes.
No matter how bad my day is, if I hear some farting, I laugh. The world could be ending, and if someone would like just rip one, I would have to laugh. And I don't understand why it's so funny, but I don't care either. I'm just happy.
It's just a habit. Well, it's nature's way of telling you to share a smile with somebody and laugh.
Wait,
you mean this?
Hang on.
Yes, it's nature's way of putting a grin on your face and a smile in your heart.
Can I hear that one? I hate to say this. Can I hear that one more time from the beginning?
Yeah, here we go.
All right, I'm ready.
This is why farts are lovely.
Gassing gas is nature's way of putting a grin on your face and a smile in your heart.
Oh, that's amazing.
So that is from our personal classic that I think we've turned it into our Lawrence of Arabia. It's our Citizen Kane.
Fluffs their buns.
Fix it in post.
Hello.
Hey. So I guess my microphone started hearing about us talking about farts. Kind of scared about what I was gonna do to it.
Killed itself.
Yeah.
Or was Sammy Hagar again?
That fucking guy.
Again with the Hagar.
Give me 1 sec. Keep going. I'll be back.
Right.
Okay, so anyhow, yeah. So we're back online, which is good.
Yeah.
Because you know it's been a hard sell to be like with my duties and things I need to do. It's like you guys have been taking 3 hours. I'm like, I know.
It's a production.
We keep having technical problems and we're all really windy. And
we gotta have a post show meeting anyways.
Yeah.
Post show. Yeah. Tooting. So it was the Lawrence of Arabia of...
Yes, Ubi. I was saying, our citizen, Sin Kane, and I just as it cut out, I'd ask, Hoke, did you watch the
yes,
film?
I watched it last night.
Excellent. So,
and I have a lot of questions about the Lord.
Oh, I think everyone does. I think anyone who sees this film...
You said it was Fart the Movie, right?
Yes. Yes, I picked it up at a Half Price Books for $3, I believe they had it on the display towards the front of the store, and I remember seeing it and I didn't buy it, and then I ended up buying it. I was like, man, I gotta send this to Tim. It is just kind of, and I guess the found footage guys found it too.
Yeah,
because they. I like those guys. I don't think we're really stealing anyone's thunder. It wasn't like I found it from them. I just kind of saw it at a Half Price Books, which Half Price Books is probably the closest thing I have to a church. I love that place so much. It was so comforting to find one out here because I love the one in Lawrence. And I found it just, I think, Tim, I was on the phone with you when I was looking for the Toys R Us.
And then you're like, holy shit, it's a Half Price Books.
Yeah. And there's a Hooters right by it too, which I haven't gone to. But I mean, I like their food. I remember the food at Hooters being good.
You got good eats.
I'm sure you've been there recently, Hokie, like in the last year or so from all your football journeys. But...
Maybe.
Okay.
I haven't been to Hooters down here. There's a chain down here called Twin Peaks that's more of the rustic, rustic version of it, like lumberjack, but they're lumber gals, and it's called Twin Peaks, and it's like Hooters.
Oh, you know, I must really be tired, or my medicine must not be kicking in, but I didn't get that at first. You said Twin Peaks, and I immediately thought of the show, which
I don't know.
Coffee, and yeah, like, and they're like, no, boobies. Oh, yeah, sorry.
It's a much more obvious choice.
That's where my head is these days.
So you found Fart the Movie in a Half Price Books?
Yeah, I did. I the cover was so bizarre, and someone online described it as the guy looks like Robert De Niro holding two things of spaghetti on the cover, and I'm like, eh. But I told Tim, I said it's equivalent. Like, I was hiding that movie like it was pornography. because I felt like there's no way that I could explain to the people in this house, like, why. I mean, it's so childish and it's so ridiculous. And, like, you actually spent money for something called Fart the Movie, even though it was like $3. You know, I mean, it's a hard, and I get it too. You know, it's like, I understand. I have a lot of little weird things, and it's like, yeah, it's kind of hard to explain. But, yeah, and I think it's only an hour and a half, but it can kind of feel like a long hour and a half by yourself. But if you, I've watched it 4 times, by the way, but if you watch it with other people, it's really fun. And it's kind of, it makes me think of how, with movies, when you know stuff is coming up and you're excited to see people's reactions to the things that are coming up.
Well, that's like, that's like the story of Ricky. I've personally like tried to show it at least 6 or 7 times in front of my friends.
Yeah.
And like, it's always like a different group of people. And there is like this, like, division, right, between being in the know and then watching it for the first time. And then once you like watch it for the first time, it's great entertainment. And then, after that, it's being in the know, and it's even more entertainment because you know what's coming up, and you know that they aren't going to expect what the hell is going to happen. I mean, the story of Ricky is a great example, and actually, like what you alluded to earlier, John, found footage is great for that. Found footage festival is awesome for that.
Yeah,
I've done that too, where I've taken found footage to places and shown it for people.
Yeah, that one of my favorite moments of ever watching a film, and one of my favorite films is from you two guys, is from Sunny Boy. When the first time I watched it was with you two, and there was the scene that you guys started tittering. You guys were like, like before it happened, I'm like, what? And then it was the slap, the whoosh, and it was so worth it. I remember just, I'm like, this is the greatest film ever. And it's like, I've never loved these two guys more than I ever have in my life for showing me this film. But that's a whole different topic. Sunny Boy is like, that's like 6 shows in itself. That's like a mini series.
If you want to, you know, we're just scratching the surface of the human psyche and simple pleasures such as farts. Sunny Boy is like, it's like we're in the 7th or 8th layer of Inception going into this game.
Yeah, we should all like do some sort of a mind altering substance and then discuss Sunny Boy. That's the only way it could. It's like I've told people before. There are certain comics that you have to read like in a different state to really understand it. So I think Sunny Boy is one of those movies that it makes, I don't know, it's wonderful. But yeah, sorry, not to go highbrow. We're going lowbrow today.
Wait, you just said Sunny Boy was highbrow.
Yeah, in its own way, kind of. I don't know.
Well, we'll have to debate that.
Like an art film? I don't know.
That is a future one. I mean, what we're really here to talk about is, I believe it is this.
When he fluffs their buns.
I love that man. His name is, I can't remember what his last name is. It's Don.
Don.
I had a Flupper. Okay, so I guess, Hoki, do you want to start with your questions, or should we give a synopsis of what the movie is? I'm doing air quotes about.
Guys, give me the synopsis, because then that'll help form my questions better. Because I do have questions. And admittedly, toward the end of the movie, it was last night, I had a belly full of beer and wings in me. I kind of fell asleep here and there at parts.
Okay.
Especially when I went into the UHF land. But give me a roundabout.
Well, Tim, I don't want to hog up all the time. So I'll let Tim, you want to
start on it and you can handle it.
Yeah, if you need any
goods. So far at the movie is about this gentleman who... I guess I can't call him that.
I see no gentleman.
He walks up and down the street farting all the time, and he farts all the time. The opening is just him walking down the street to some music and farting in an elevator. And then
the medicine wheel band.
The medicine wheel band. Who? Yeah, we'll have a little feature piece from them later.
Yes.
So he basically walks around, and they have like their theme music for the opening of the movie, but it stops so that people can be like, I did not fart. You must have farted. You farted.
And I have to add, the farts, they don't sound good. For the idea of a movie that this is what it's about, you would think there would be some really good variations, but they're all weak. There was only a couple of them in the movie that you're kind of going, oh, that sounded pretty good. They were all, I mean, do you agree, Tim, or, and Hoke? I mean, or,
it depends. Like, I guess we're kind of a connoisseur of farts. So, I mean, it's kind of, we're almost like hipster fartists, right? So
yeah, yeah, like, we're the Decemberists of farting.
Or the Decemberists.
That's a future t-shirt.
So I don't know. It depends. And that'll be in my questions, like, because I also have some observations and stuff, I guess. So like, this guy Russell. Is like a big, like, Russell is like this, like, apparently he is well-to-do, and he leaves this office in his corporate world farting the whole time, and then pretty much just changing the surroundings around him by cutting wind in various different sound bites of farts.
Well, and the song when it starts is called "Life's a Gas" by the Medicine Wheel Band.
Oh, so. Yeah, we'll get to those guys too. So, yeah. So this guy comes home and he's got like a wife in this big house and stuff. So what happens like next?
Tim, are they married? They don't really say, do they?
They don't really say whether they're married, but she apparently has been waiting. It's New Year's Eve, and she's been waiting to go out for the evening because they never go out because they have no friends because he farts all the time. And he's like, no, we're going to stay in and watch TV. And
yeah, he's a couch potato. Which,
garbage and fart. But.
Which is a great phrase that's not used anymore. But remember, my mom actually has dolls from the 80s that are called couch potatoes. And they're like these plush things. But you remember that term in the 80s? Because that was like a slam. Because they're like, oh, you're sitting around like a couch potato.
I think it still gets used.
I haven't heard it in a million years.
I don't think it has fallen out of the parlance.
Let's bring it back.
All right, couch potato it is.
The Russian lady doctor at urgent care last year who administered a shot to my stomach for some stomach bug that I had, that was amplified because I had gotten totally wasted the night before and like woke up in the morning pale and dry heaving. They had this cocktail of liquid like drugs they made me drink, and she explicitly said, "This week you be couch potato." And that was the last time I've heard it used in the vernacular. So it was
become
a
couch potato, then the couch potato becomes vodka. And then you drink it. And then you will come back and see me for another shot in stomach.
In Russia, couch potato becomes you.
Then you become vodka, then you drink yourself.
So
that was more Transylvanian. Sorry.
So that was the last time I've heard it actually used out in public. It was a urgent care Russian doctor lady.
Sounds right.
Yeah, well, like, oh, I was most certainly a couch potato with a little bit of sour cream and chives, if you know what I'm talking about.
That is like a dream of mine. I took it way too far. I used to be in really good shape, and when I had pneumonia, they said, now look, whatever sounds good, you just eat it. Don't worry about it, you know, because you really need to be on the mend. And I took that a little, that was probably 6 years ago. I'm still following those doctor's orders. But how is it? That's like the best doctor's order. They're like, well, look, you just need to stay on the couch.
They didn't say when to stop.
Yeah, that's right. There was no deadline. There was no expiration.
So unlike you and me, John, where we actually had like physical ailments that required us to be couch potato, Russell, it was Russell's hobby between that and farting, right, Tim?
Yeah, he seems to be a pro at it because he gets up in the kitchen and he pulls out just all this crap that
makes lots of junk.
Well, it's like, but there's like bananas, and then there's like an entire like box of the fun size, you know, chips that go in kids' lunches, and
yeah, he really enjoyed the bananas, which was strange. He ate a lot of bananas, which to me, if he's trying to, I don't know if he just eats junk food or if he eats junk food that he thinks is going to help his power. I don't know, but bananas. I mean, there was bananas, beer. Fritos.
He ate a hot dog on the way home.
He's got a big chili dog. Yeah, he drank a lot of beer too. He's really thin too.
Yeah,
Like he's eating every scene that he's in. Anytime that he's talking, he's like reaching for something or chewing on something or drinking something.
Dude, remember when he was holding the TV guide in his foot and was eating peanuts? He has, like, his legs crossed, and he had the TV guide in between his toes. Ugh. It was open.
So this Russell guy, that's what he's doing. So what does this lady want to do?
She wants to go hit the town. On
she
New Year's.
Was the boogie!
she was kind of ditzy.
Oh, she was a hard-looking woman, too. Tim, I think that was how Tim described her when we watched it. He said, oof. She's kind of hard. Her screaming, and yeah, she was really, and what's interesting is you couldn't quite tell what time frame it was from. You're like, oh, this is from the 80s. But then there were references that were kind of 90s. So, I mean, I actually found, like, a clip online where the name of the article was Writer of Fart the Movie Speaks Out. And it was released in 91. And so what happened is the only thing that one of the guys who was a writer, he said, I'd been in L.A. for about 2 weeks back in 1990, and my first job I found as a writer was working for some shady dude out of a real estate office in Eagle Rock. My writing partner and I wrote 2 sketches for him for $150 each. I honestly thought I'd vanished, and we would never mention it of it again. I'm delighted it showed up. No, seriously, really.
I don't know if I'd be running around slapping this on my resume.
Well, yeah, but didn't it felt like an 80s movie? And I personally think that parts of it were done earlier, and then that they just kind of slapped a lot of.
So I'll get to when I get to, like, because once we figure out this whole plot, like, I'll get to, like, one of the things. But Kelly watched the movie with me, and one of the first things she asked when I started it was, "Is this a porno?" Because it had the same kind of VHS tape look that a lot of the 80s pornos had, which I thought was kind of hilarious.
No, it is not. But it does have that, I don't know, I think they may have pieced some of it together at different times. I had another movie I found that was filmed in the 70s and didn't get released until like 1984, so... Mm. So it does happen, but she wants to go out. He proceeds to fart and blast things away. She's gonna go out without him, and he's like, "Yeah, fine, it's no problem." And then he spends the rest of the movie kind of like watching.
Well, he falls asleep. Yeah, well, like, it's like a dream. Oops, yeah,
he watches a lot of TV, and then periodically, like, he'll enjoy what he's watching. Other times, he doesn't like it. Then he starts lamenting that she's not out there, and he's like, "Heather, where are you, Heather?"
Well, you got to remember the foreshadowing, where she yells at him for farting and for being a couch potato, for watching too much television. So she says, "If your two things were combined," or something, I'm kind of paraphrasing, "then you would never leave the house." So when he falls asleep, then all of the TV programming, everything is about farts.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the... I mean, it's amazing if you think about it. Like, a movie that obviously was like a whole bunch of sketches and stupid things being wrote, they actually put some foreshadowing. It's kind of impressive. Not really. I'm totally kidding. That was an afterthought. But yeah, because he's kind of tells her, like, fine, go out, whatever. And then like, he's like, talks about how much he misses her, and but he could have gone out, but it's just, yeah, I don't know. But the when the TV programming gets in, it is when it's really, oh, and backtracking a little bit, and the house looks like it's huge.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's part of the problem I had with it. Yeah, it's... Ugh. Yeah, okay, so I'll get into it, because, yeah, I watched the movie, and then, like, yeah, like, so, like, the guy, like, you know, laments, and he has this little TV, and, you know, he's watching the TV on the toilet, and he's flushing the toilet, even though his pants are still on.
That was, yeah,
and he's walking around watching this shit, and he's like, and then, like, his lady friend is at this hoity-toity party, and, like, she's listens to all these other people who have problems, but they're, like, much worse problems with relationships than some guy farting. And then it's, like, she has a freak out for some reason. And then, like, the movie ends
people
with... People are farting. Yeah, they're making fun of her for farting.
But, Well, no, but you remember the like the first the lady who says the old lady who it's like her party.
Yeah.
And she said, well, tell me what's bothering you. And then that guy comes in and he says, and then I told Tim, I said, this is just somebody who wrote this scene was just trying to get this joke that they thought was funny. And the guy says, Russell has halitosis. And she said, halitosis? That's not Russell's problem. And he said, he could knock a buzzard off a shit wagon. That's how bad his breath is. And it's like, well, that doesn't really pertain to anything.
It doesn't even make sense. When that joke
happened, I was waiting for Tim to do the womp, 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 womp.
I actually don't have that queued up. So. If I did it now. So
I do have zippy one-liner fart jokes on mine ready to go if you would. It's not Blanche Knott's, but it is in that vein. Would you like to hear one just to kind of sure. So Tim can maybe cue that up?
Yeah, sure.
All right. What is the sharpest thing in the world?
What's that?
A fart. It goes through your pants and it doesn't even leave a hole. Oh, yeah, love it.
So she gets farted on. And then she, like, wakes up, right? And then it was, like, all a dream for her.
Yeah, they go the Dallas route.
Yeah, and then, exactly. And then she cuts one, and then he cuts one, and then they go to bed, and that's the end of the movie.
So
that was fart the movie, right?
But in between is, like, all the different little programs. And there's different programs in...
Yeah,
my favorite is the comedians
because they're not funny.
They're so unbelievably not funny.
Well, now wait. To be fair, there is a gem like this floating around in there. Here we go.
Yeah,
like necrophilia, everybody has a really great fart story.
Yeah, because that's just
what the hell is that?
That's Don. That's like Don Larson, or Don. I can't remember what his.
Don something, but
I wish I remembered his name, his last name. But he was my favorite. But Tim and I had stopped and we said, "What? Like necrophilia?"
Like necrophilia, everybody has a really great fart story.
I think so.
God, he is a mouth breather too. He's like talks and breathes out of his mouth the same time. Like necrophilia, but it's unfathomable.
Well, he also has the part two where he's telling the jokes, and it doesn't make any sense because I don't know if he was waiting for a big laugh, but he tells a story about a guy. He's hanging out with a buddy in college, and he farts, and his friend blames it on him. I mean, there's no real like setup and punchline.
And it just kind of reminds me of I Hate You, which, Tim, I know we watched, but I don't know if you watched, John.
No, I said
that. Did you ever watch it?
No.
Oh, man.
You watched Las Vegas Bloodbath off that set.
I did watch that.
See, like, let's peel the curtains, like, my farts will peel the paint off the walls here shortly. But, like, we're setting up the blog, and we're moving some of the older videos over. And one of the older videos we reviewed, Tim and I reviewed... I Hate You, which its whole premise is a stand-up comedian who is a serial killer, and he's really terrible at his jokes, and actually the way he murders people is pretty terrible too. And then
he murders them with his jokes. He does a set and they kill themselves.
I think the bouncer at the bar said it best when he said, "It's gonna suck."
Oh yeah, that was my favorite part. You guys kept putting that in there.
Yeah,
and it's really bad when a whole like an hour and 40-minute movie has a 4-second piece of dialogue. That's the best part.
So, and that's kind of it's not the same as like part the movie, but when I saw the stand-up guys get up there, that's the thing I went to. And I was seriously considering, I was wondering if the guy in I Hate You was funnier than the actual guys.
No, he's not. I'll put Don against him any day.
Don is better.
You have to look at my Facebook page. Don is on my Facebook page. I have tried to see if that guy has shown up in anything else, if he's done any other stand-up, because he was so unbelievably bad that it was fascinating to me. This is kind of like a... This is my version of the Winnebago Man of the, the what's that guy's name, Tim?
Jack Rebney.
Jack.
Yeah, Rebney. This is my Jack Rebney. Is this guy, and it's you know, I just the sets were so bad. And I love that sign that said the Rude Dudes. And there was that guy with really bad hair who kept going on
about how bad it smelled.
Yeah, he was like, whoa, what happened up here? And then he's like, I'll get to the jokes, folks. But, oh my gosh, it smells so bad. And he just keeps going and going and going. And, I mean, none of the comedians were – and so that's where I was like, well, where did they find this? Did these guys write this material just to be in this movie?
It's not exactly like slow comedy, right? Where, like, they have funny payoff. Yeah, it's not Louis C.K., that's for sure.
No, no, it's not like this is going somewhere. You know, it's not like –
it's not going.
You know, yeah, which, you know, I don't – I'd understand that, but and was there any part of it that you guys?
I like the game show fart thingy. I thought that was kind of funny.
I thought that guy was the best actor, the guy who hosted it.
Yeah,
the guy who I thought besides him, and I told him there was the guy. There was a guy at the party that was a good actor.
He sounded like the guy. He sounded like the guy that was the announcer for Roland Martin's Live Fan.
Yeah,
I was waiting for him to say live from Burbank, California.
He was very polished, and I love that really big guy with the glasses, who he couldn't fart, and they gave him the bean burrito, and then he was trying to squeeze one out,
and he sharted.
He sharted, and then they brought and there was one other funny scene when the lady who said that she could, blindfolded, she could smell a fart and could tell you what the person was, and then the little girl farted, and she said, "Oh, you're a very big man," and you know, I mean, so there, I mean,
okay, that's not funny.
Yeah, I see. Aha, gotcha. So, I mean, so there were a few things, but I mean, but was it hard for you? I mean, I guess I would ask more Hokey because I know Tim just kind of watched it in amazement. I watched it with him when I visited him.
Yeah.
Was it easy to get through, or?
It was, I mean, I fell asleep at the end, but I think that was more because I was drunk and full of buffalo wings.
Yeah.
And, but I did catch the end of the movie. I missed some of the skits because it was running long, skit-wise. I was more enamored. Okay, first off, I watched it with Kelly. She didn't know what it was. She, like I said earlier, she thought it was like a porno, and I'm like, no, it's Fart the Movie. And about 5 minutes in, she was just laughing her ass off. I'm like, wow. She's like,
that's a good one.
Well, she was like, this is terrible. But then every fart noise, she would just start bust out laughing because it was so amazingly ridiculous. Like the fart noises, just out of the blue. Even like, I think the fart editor guy, they must have had a fart editor in the movie. But I think he was a little overzealous in some scenes because, I mean, at some parts where he looked like he was really pushing it out, and others, they're just like, there's a moment of silence here. We better sneak in a fart sound really quick.
Yeah.
So she was slapping her ass off at that. And I think both of us, we were kind of amazed, like what you said earlier, John, about how huge the house was. It really made me wonder. It's like, how well-to-do is this guy? I mean, the only explanation I could just, like, shoot off the top of my head is that he's some kind of trust fund baby. Because,
yeah.
I mean, like, he works at some office that's high up in the elevator, some top floor, like, company, and all he does is he pushes out farts. I'm sure, you know, trying to sell a big deal to a multinational corporation, you want a guy in there dropping bombs like Hiroshima.
Right, I mean, at the very, you know, he would probably just be, like, a mailroom guy or something in an office.
But he wore a suit.
But he had a suit and a briefcase. But his briefcase had junk.
Yeah, briefcase was later on to be revealed as to having more junk and fart food. So maybe he's a janitor and then he just wears a suit there. I don't know. But first, the thing that like threw me off was how ginormous the house was. And it kind of made me wonder, and I'll get to that in a second. But like, okay, so why in his giant house, large chandelier, big, and you know, he had the technology of the future. He had like TiVo before I think TiVo was even conceived of, with the kind of technology he was in there. So he was like programming all this shit in these cabinets.
And a Richter scale too, don't forget that.
Well, of course. So he had all this like technology, and I'm like, how can a guy who enjoys farts, I mean, what does he do for a living to afford him the riches and spoils of technology and fartometers that I mean, that I had a hard time getting past that. And what amplified that even more, what made it even more of a loud ripper, was the fact that of all the rooms that he chose to watch television, it was the couch in the master bedroom in a small that he flopped his ass in. It's like there's got to be like a theater or something that big that you can see a big screen.
Well, I have a theory on that one, and this is not like movie magic land, but more practical. The person who let them film in their house only let them film in a certain part first.
That's what I was wondering. It's like,
yeah, that's kind of what my theory was. Like, well, somebody said, you can use my house, but you can only use this for a little bit. We've got other stuff going on. But, and they're like, oh, we'll just use the guest room or the guest house.
The kitchen and the game room and the master and the guest bedroom.
Yeah, because I think the party that she went to was actually taking place in the same house.
but in the movie sense of it, of location, later during the party, apartment had a soundstage.
I know!
It had a really nice soundstage.
Hey, let's watch this band. And all of a sudden, they're at Austin City Limits. It's like, what the fuck?
It wasn't like the band was playing in the living room. They were playing on a soundstage. So they were trying to make it... And what was interesting is her wording, is she said, the medicine wheel band has agreed to play. So it was almost like, were we debating money before they played at your New Year's party? Was there like a negotiation?
Hey, this lady's got a friend who cuts farts all the time. We'll just take over your shows from here on out.
We'll go to the scene here.
Yeah.
God, I love that music.
I do too.
I have a special treat for all you dear people. The Medicine Wheel Band has agreed to perform for us.
Inner soundstage.
Creepy guy with long hair.
Dude, that's pretty much country music for you around that time.
Oh, man. I know you can't see this, but it's just awful.
I can't find a clip to put online.
I kind of want to get in a bar fight with this.
Let that feeling pass.
Now, this is the kind of song I would hear in a porno, too, actually.
Yeah. Taboo.
Yeah.
That's kind of taboo-ish, yeah.
Yeah, the lead singer looks like he is an
anorexic
trip.
Oh, God. Oh, man. You know what? We may have to do, like, a After Dark one, too, and talk about that movie.
I will leave my pants on for that, unlike the one that we're doing right now.
Yeah, I don't know what I was... You know, I just that's a really unfortunate purchase.
What was the unfortunate purchase?
Cockhounds.
Boy, that's for the...
It's the greatest gift I've ever received.
That is Gonzo Guys After Dark.
I didn't think it was going to be so literal.
It falls in line with Fart the Movie. I mean, you go to Fart the Movie and it's a bunch of farts, right? So
I would love to break down, like money-wise, like what I'd spend on things. Like, I mean, it's not a lot, but it's just like, I mean, if I actually saw the number, I would probably be really depressed. Like, all those weird things that I've purchased, but I guess that's part of what makes
me. Well, that's because all you want to be is a couch potato, John.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
that's a Russian one.
Would you purchase this fine album?
You went wild for Young MC Craig. For Run DMC. Now let your senses reel for MC Gaseous. Yes, you
there's some great Running Man dancing by the ladies in that too.
Those ladies are sexy.
Blow me away. Can't eat that. Love me. Touch me. Smell me.
Blow me away is great.
Something burns within. Blowing in the wind. Yo, 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 beans. Let's air our differences. Hi, fresh air for Mikey and the new dance sensation. Do the buff band. By now you'll receive a special recording.
They better see Spike Lee.
So we need to one. We need to make sure that everyone knows that this is in the movie.
Yeah, this is in part the movie.
This and what's so great about this is, and I figured out what this guy, the MC guy, what he's a combination of. It's a combination of He-Man and Jason Mewes. Because he has like these weird Egyptian kind of like two different like shirt like tops. They're almost like chest protectors for a baseball catcher.
I kind of thought he's got a little bit like not that everyone will know who this is if they don't watch wrestling, but he looked like a really poor version, like somebody who dress up like Shawn Michaels and go to a wrestling show.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah, but I have to say, like, and I told Tim when we were watching, I was like, man, one of those women, she really could dance. Like, because they have these three women doing the Running Man, and it's, some of them are kind of spastic, but one of them's, like, kind of good.
One of them's actually good.
And the good...
Oh, sorry.
Blow me away.
Wait, we gotta get his reaction.
555 Fart. For money, order to MC Gassy. PO Box 1781, Billings, Montana, 95619. Don't miss this chance to add these fine albums to your collection.
Oh, I gotta get that record. I gotta get that record. Woo!
Oh, wow.
I love how like he has such a like Russell has such a great like kind of John Travolta kind of, I mean, he's obviously a New Yorker.
Oh, he's from Jersey.
Yeah. Well, you know that he's actually has an IMDb page.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because I searched for Fart the Movie on IMDb and there's two. There's one that's like Fart the Movie and then one that's Big Wind on Campus apparently.
Yeah, we need to see both.
Like, we do need to get the other one.
It's got Chris Farley's brother on it, so. You know, Kevin P. Farley.
Was that the one who was in the Workaholics? One the episode this season?
I'm not sure which one that was, but I think... Yeah, I don't know which one he is.
Yeah, so Chris Farley's brother is doing movies now, and he probably did a deal with the devil, too. But
I did forget two of my deal with the devils. One of them came up the other day, and I just want to throw this out really quickly because I'd feel amiss. I know we didn't all agree on the Mick Foley, but I think we can all agree on the Miz.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Like, that's all I want to say. And move on. Moving on.
That's a lock.
And it's pretty much guaranteed that nobody from Fart did a deal with the devil.
No. Well, but Russell, the guy who plays Russell, his in his picture on IMDb, he has like a little kind of Gatsby kind of hat, you know, and kind of a little bit of stubble, and he actually is one of those guys, he looks a little less awkward now that he's older, but if I remember correctly, there weren't a whole lot of titles under his resume, so unfortunately this was not probably the launch pad that Russell, that the actor was expecting, so.
Except that he must have had bit parts in, oh my god, in Brewster's Millions. He had a bit part in that. He was in another 48 Hours. He looked like he was just like
glorified extra.
Yeah, like Randall Tex Cobb, who's my favorite like extra ever. That guy is so awesome. You guys know Randall Tex Cobb, right?
Yeah, he has that weird laugh.
Yeah, and he was mashed and Barry.
He was in The Gold Child. And he was also in Fletch. He had the great line in Fletch, should take your pants off.
Yeah. So that's where Russell from Fart the Movie is, maybe not as big time, but Russell the Fart Man used that popularity from that movie to springboard onto not only being an orderly in the Meteor Man, but also being hoodlum number one in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He was in Congo.
What's his real name?
Name is Joel Weiss.
Okay.
Very, very Jersey. Very, very Jersey.
Well, I wonder if he still acts or if he's working.
He was in Dexter in 2008.
Oh, yeah.
And it was some movie called It Could Be Arranged in 2010.
Yeah, but that's 2 years ago.
Hey, man, it's close enough for me.
Yeah, but he's not making Jim Carrey kind of money where he can go 2 years between jobs.
Wow.
I mean, not to sound cruel, but you know what I mean?
I don't think he's making Jim Smith money. It doesn't have to be anybody. I don't think he'd be way down the scale from Mr.
Matt Damon money.
Yeah. he works at a grocery store, probably, and then he's just. But that kind of begs the question. And when you get to a certain age, do you just kind of, when do you realize like you just kind of give it up and just go, all right, I need to, this is silly. I'm in my 40s and I'm still reading for things, and it's not going to happen by now. I mean, I don't understand like when.
I think some people it never goes away. I think they just kind of shift their dream to, oh, well, I can be a great older character actor now.
Is that sad, or do you have to applaud them for their stick-with-itness?
They're committed to it, and I think it's, in some cases it's sad, and in some cases, depending on how they look at it, it's
kind of awesome.
It's kind of admirable. If they can
keep it. I mean, you think about it, it's like, I mean, even a really crappy movie, not to get all philosophical and deep on this, because that's not what we do, but I mean, as bad as a movie is, I mean, you still made it. You still put something out there. So, Yeah, okay, so anyways, that was way too serious, so I'm going to go ahead and give you another one zippy one-liner.
Okay,
what do you call a fart?
What?
A turd honking for the right of way. Tim, thank you.
Yeah, you don't want to take it too seriously. Some guy actually reviewed this movie on IMDb, and he made it all serious.
How could you? I mean, I don't understand how you could think that. I don't know. I mean, because the people who made the movie, they weren't thinking at the time like, yeah, this is really good. They were just like, hey, let's just throw it together. And
so,
you know.
So, what are your thoughts? What are your, I guess, final thoughts about like Fart the movie? Like, what, like, is it something to have in the old Gonzo Guy holster, ready to go?
I think it's right up there. I mean, I know I'm the latest to the group kind of thing, and I've paid my dues probably, but. Well, I think it's a wonderful film in its own way. I watched it four times. I watched it with my nephews, and that kind of started them on the bad movie things, because I thought they wouldn't want to watch it. They're like,
it's a good farts are a good gateway drug, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, it's everyone.
And Kelly, I mean, even today, like, she'll kill me when she hears this, if she actually listens. Hopefully she does. And everyone else who's listening, tell your significant other to listen to this, because Fart the movie is also about making things work in a relationship.
Yes, that is. It's a
but
love
like,
story at heart, it's a love story.
At heart, yes, it's a love triangle.
At fart, it's a love story.
I had to back away from my mic. I was laughing so hard when you said it was a love triangle.
So, she was laughing her ass off the movie, and it was because it was ridiculous. It was one of those things, and I guess the heart of farts, no pun intended. But it was like, farts are like, you know, it's like it's almost like this inbred Victorian sensibility that's been passed down to ages, where people are like, oh, farts, oh, no, that's not respectful. Oh, you shouldn't do that. But then everyone still kind of laughs. That's kind of how, like, Kelly went through that movie, is that she was kind of laughing her ass off at the farts, and while she was saying it, she'd be saying, that's terrible and ridiculous. And that's that, oh, there's something that's so attractive. Like, and that's kind of like Blanche Knott's Truly Tasteless Jokes, and a lot of, like, what, like, we end up watching is that, you know, it really is funny, and it's just kind of like these other outside pressures that, like, force you into saying that, oh, it's not very good. Or it's not worth, you know, the dollar that you paid for, because it's so gross and not like not a classic. But it's like, it's still funny. People still find that funny.
Well, it it's timeless, because my dad told me the story about his uncles when they had like a fruit cellar, and. You know, because that was a big thing on farms and such. And they took a jar, and one of them farted it, and they sealed it up. And then a year later, they opened it, and they swear that you could smell it. And so it's just, I mean, just potty humor is just timeless. I mean,
that goes back to the Cave of the Wind stories from episodes ago. It's like everyone has a good fart story.
Like necrophilia.
Yes, like necrophilia. Everyone has a good fart story. So.
I can honestly.
Oh wait, hold on. Like necrophilia, everybody has a good fart story.
I'm telling you, if I can find that guy, I will make something out of that. If I can find Don.
So you can probably talk that guy into coming on.
Oh, you kidding me? I could probably talk him into moving in with me. It's like, honey, I know we've been, you know, we've got all these cats. I've got someone to take care of the cats. Oh, by the way, I got to add this in here. I still have the cat cage in the room where I'm recording. But the cats, we got rid of the one because, you know, we were just kind of like taking care of them and getting them up to speed. And then you give them back to the shelter, right, for adoption. So I get a text yesterday that says, just got 6 cats. So our garage has 6 cats, 5 what kittens, and a So this cage is in here, and like they moved the cats to the garage, thankfully. But I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna record in here with 6 cats, and it smells terrible, but it smells better now.
You have 6 cats
for a week. We have 6 cats that we're taking. I don't know what the whole idea, but it's, yeah. But I was just saying, like, I could, if I find Don, maybe Don, because Don probably doesn't have, Don, the comedian, strikes, and I'm sorry, I'm really perseverating on Don, but.
I think you have a fart crush on him.
I do. I have a fart on? Fart of that. Yeah. A big stinky fart. But no, I would think that guy's probably like an insurance salesman or a lawyer of some kind, and that was his hobby. And he was like, "Oh, wait till my comedy career breaks out." But he can. I can. If I find him, I can interview him, and he can come take care of our cats that we take. So.
Well, and that's and there's stuff like, okay, so like if you see on the Facebook page, I did my research and I got Uncle Mike's original fart book.
I saw that.
And it's
and it looks like is it a little book? It looks tiny.
It's or kind of a pamphlet. No, yeah, okay. I got really big hands.
And a big old dick.
That's right. Doing. No, big old mushroom head. My dad got this book, and I don't know where he got it. I can tell you
Cave of the Winds gift shop?
Pretty much. Except this, believe it or not, it was by this company called Apple Design in Westwood, Kansas. And it was printed in 1983, and it had a second, a third, and a fourth, and a fifth printing. And
wow.
Yeah, and what they do is they attempt to classify farts, not unlike the genus and the species and stuff like that.
Okay.
And Uncle Mike, well, just real quick, Uncle Mike, there isn't really any other person mentioned but Uncle Mike, and really quick about Uncle Mike is that he was born in the Missouri Ozarks in 1924, and he lived in the woods and was basically a hermit. His life was meager, and he barely managed to get by. But he was a very smart guy, and he did a lot of scientific experiments. So on a warm summer morning in July of 1978, at 54 years of age, Uncle Mike rode his mule Jesse into town and said, "I'm heading to Kansas City. I'm gonna be a rich man." So
I'm gonna pee my pants.
So that morning, Uncle Mike got on the bus carrying an age-worn leather satchel. This book, Uncle Mike's original fart book, is a culmination of Uncle Mike's life work. Right now, today, and I'm assuming the day of printing, he's living in Malibu and owns his publishing company. And this is in his bio. He drives his Mercedes to work every morning and dines at his own restaurant in Los Angeles. So from a humble beginning of studying farts and classifying them in the Ozarks to the whining and dining of downtown L.A. eating in his own restaurant.
Oh, man. So
there's...
He made it. He done good.
And that man is Michael Douglas.
Yes. And just so you know, he just want to make sure in the introduction, not only is the fart perpetual, because it's been through the dawn of time. I mean, from Civil War to Pearl Harbor, there were farts. Just as there were farts present when the first rocket rose majestically from the pad at Cape Canaveral. But it's also perpetual. It's also universal, right? It has no nationality, no religious... No race, no color, no sex, no age. I mean, a Jewish fart is essentially the same as a Muslim, Christian, or atheist fart. A fart born in Africa is indistinguishable from one born in Canada, Puerto Rico, or Macy's basement.
I'd like to
that. Whoa, did you just say Macy's basement?
Yes.
Wow, that's so really...
That's really specific.
I have to have a copy of this book.
Hey, just so you know that a communist fart is identical to a capitalist fart.
So,
a fart is then... No, go ahead.
The United Nations of the...
Yes.
Of bodily functions.
The fart is then indeed the common bond of man and beast. So he has definitions of terms. He references Funk and Wagnall's dictionary. He has a volume, an OOU comparison fart chart. And the OOU is olfactory unit count, or OUC.
So he has a measurement.
Yes.
He really is a scientist.
Let me just give you the five levels, and then I'll pick some classes. And okay, so the five levels from 0.0 to 1.0 OOUs, it's equivalent to the smell of dirty socks and underwear.
Why am I laughing so hard?
What's the next level?
I'm sweating. I'm laughing so
So from 1.1 to 2.0 OUs, it's the same smell as spoiled meat. From 2.1 to 3.0 OUs, it is the equivalent to vomit.
Vomit?
Wow. Yeah, well, and here's where it gets a little weird. From 3.1 to 4.0 OOUs, it's classified or compared to old fish guts. And then 4.1 to 5.0 OOUs is equivalent to no equivalent odor. And I think he puts a pretty good emphasis on the silent but deadly farts. Just really quick, the farts, or family fartus, that's the Latin P-H-A-R-T-U-S, can be divided into two basic characteristics, like two major subfamilies. Your farts and someone else's farts. They're definite and do not overlap. And, you know, I can kind of agree with this. This is another side. I think, and you guys can agree too, everybody loves their own brand, right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe once in my life I've had a fart that was so rank and dank that I was like, God damn it, I've had at least on one or two occasions that I've dropped a fart that actually made me leave the room myself. I don't know. You've had a couple?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I've had some incidents where I've had to go, I banished myself from the room.
And usually it was after like a float trip. So like a weekend of camping, I get into some river water, and I don't take a shower. I do now, but like, no yeast infections in my butthole anymore. So I would be a weekend of that, drinking a lot of beer and eating like pasteurized food. Because I'm too lazy to actually cook anything. There's a lot of Twinkies and Cheez-Its and sure, the Sunday morning drive back, I would rip some farts that were just so ghastly. It was like I would have to leave, and I would have to just leave the room or jump out of the car running. Let me pull a couple of these things, because I think definitely if anything, we should definitely get a reprint of this book, because it is. It's opened a world that I think a lot of people are afraid to go on. And we've documented that a lot of people are afraid to go down. Let's talk about the Fartus Maximus, shall we?
Sure.
Fartus Maximus is also known as the Macho Fart. It is clearly audible, characterized by a rumbling sound and a highly offensive. It usually produces a burning sensation in the eyes of those close in proximity. Fartus Maximus have been known to stain finer fabrics.
Doesn't that just mean you took a shit?
Yes.
I just imagine this old minor hermit guy and like with the lab set up just writing this and just being so serious.
Yes. Well, just so you know, to kind of help you guess. He also kind of gives them like where it's most commonly found. So in Fartus Maximus, it's most often produced by truck drivers, hookers, cowboys, horses.
Why hookers?
Plumbers, weightlifters, junk car dealers, heavy equipment operators, wrestlers, mechanics, truck stop, waitresses, elephants, St. Bernards, and little old ladies.
So, I don't understand. Why is Hooker so high up on the list?
And it's right next to truck drivers.
Well, no, but the truck drivers. Do they? Why do the truck drivers put in their weenies in the hookers? Then that it's a transmittable thing.
It's like you've gone stereo from mono, right? Where they're both farting, and it's like you're left and right. So here's the fartist extremist, right? So the super fart, as it is commonly known, fartist extremis, is easily audible even at distances approaching 25 feet. Fartist extremis will not support human or animal life and should not be produced in confined areas or near heat or flame. Insects in close proximity are usually asphyxiated, and some damage to foliage has been reported on occasion. Just so you know, if you ever look for this kind of brand, this kind of classification with owners of chili parlors, great apes, women wrestlers, roller derby queens, Alabama highway patrolmen, expectant mothers, seafaring men, and little old ladies have been known to produce fartist extremis.
I love how specific his categories are. It's not like an Arkansas highway patrolman, it's Alabama. And it's like, it's not just like women, it's like it was a roller derby. Women wrestlers?
Women wrestlers. Yeah.
So, I was thinking the Japanese women wrestlers. They would have little ones. I don't imagine they would have Maximus.
But the smell would probably murder you. So
yeah, that's true.
So you did mention lady. A quick note. There's a quick note in this. It's almost a Ripley's. Believe it or not, but it should be noted that the fartus domesticus or housewife fart is odorless, right? Yes. No wives produce any farts that smell. This is a well-known fact and should here be noted. However, it should also be noted that divorced women will occasionally produce what is known as the fartus domesticus separatus. This variety will have an odor. Also, women who have been married twice have been known to produce the fartus domesticus version 2. This variety, too, has an odor. Furthermore, those women who produce the fartus separatus and the fartus domesticus 2 will deny that these farts have an odor, since they wish their production to be associated with the pure form known simply as the odorless fartus domesticus. And then in big, bold type, it says, strange but true. So, you pretty much get a good taste of, and I hope you don't get a really good taste in your mouth for what's going on in this book. It has helped me out in my life. Like, for example...
Is the book available? I mean, could you get it off of eBay, you think?
It's worth a look. I didn't look because I already own it, so...
It has to be.
I need a copy of this.
Just so you know, there are classifications like the Fartus John Deere's, which is it's a common variation of the farm farts. It's usually while riding a tractor. And then, of course, there's Fartus Locomotus, which is where you fart on a train. What else? Yeah, I mean, it's just a cacophony. It's a great reading. There's animal farts as well.
Ooh. Can I hear a couple of those?
Yeah, like...
yes!
This is fascinating.
The Fartus Autobonus is the scientific name for the bird fart. These are very low in volume and quite rare, usually occurring during flight. This category may also be subdivided into Autobonus canarius, Autobonus parakeetus, Autobonus hawkus, Autobonus chickenus, to name only a few of many types that have been reported. And I think if we're going to talk animals, we might as well just bust out Fartus caninus, which of course is the famous and well-known dog fart. It is prevalent in most homes and that house members of the house members of the canine family. The caninus is usually high in OOUs, which if you guys remember, it can either smell like dirty socks or wet laundry.
But you know what I have to say? You know what I always think that dog farts smell like? When you've got like party balloons and you're trying to blow them up and they have that weird vinyl and spit smell.
Vinyl and spit.
Yeah, that's what dog farts smell like to me. But well, oh, hey, there's something called a gorilla fart. I just saw it in the Urban Dictionary. If the gorilla fart is an alcoholic drink procured at a busy bar, it is made by taking the pour mat the bartender has been pouring drinks over all night, pouring the liquid runoff.
That's also called a garbage can.
Oh, man. That has to produce some kind of heinous fart, though.
Then I was like, ooh. I mean, imagine a gorilla fart would be really heinous.
So
the drink. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry,
no, it's also, so this fart, the canine fart, not unlike the gorilla fart, but actually very different from the gorilla fart. It's also known as the high how do you do fart. This grouping may be broken down into a great many individual types, the most common of which are Caninus labradorius, Caninus great danus, so on and so forth. There are indeed a great many variations of this variety. God, oh, Mike can't write for shit. For example, in mixed breed dogs, you may have fine production. It should be noted that large dogs will produce caninus at any time that they desire, and quite often. However, small, snippy-nosed, smart-ass dog will sneak around and be very covert about doing it. I did not know that. I learned so much in this book. So,
And where did you get it?
My dad got it. I don't know where he got it. But it was kind of, you know, like, you know how when you're a kid and you're growing up and your dad comes home from work, it's like usually it's like, oh, you know, the one day that he brings home something, now expect him to bring home something every day. So, like, there's a time where he, like, brought, like, a toy for me and my brother. And I was like, yay! So now every day he's like, did you bring us something? So that's what happened with this book. Like, one day he brought this book, and I mean...
Were you guys excited? Did you love it?
Hell yeah. Well, and they made fun of me because my name is Mike. So... And that's part of why I certainly have no ill will. I don't have any ill winds toward that. But,
yeah. That's such a wonderful time in your life, isn't it? Like, when you think about, like, your dad coming home and bringing you stuff. Like
yeah.
A gift or just that, I don't know. I mean, I'm such a sentimental kind of weenie.
Well, it gives everybody a psyche into my mind, the fact that my dad would bring home a fart book.
But that's so wonderful, because I've only met your dad, I think, a couple times, Hoag.
Yeah.
And he was just that fantastic, like, they don't make guys like that anymore. And I mean that, like, it's the highest compliment.
No,
where it's
no.
Just like, your dad was just this, he's just this nice, kind of silly, telling us dirty jokes.
Definitely dirty jokes.
Yeah, and you know, and I just kind of, I'm like, man, I hope someday that I, like, am in that position where it's like, yeah, I watch the news, I go to bed, I razz my son's friends, that kind of thing, you know. It's just, I don't know, it's wonderful. And Tim, your dad's that way, too. Your dad is very... Tim's one of my favorite endearing things about Tim's dad is I didn't have the right shoes at Tim's wedding, and his dad had some extra shoes that fit me, and he was so excited that they fit and that they worked, and it was kind of like, it's like, I'm, you know, it's like, oh, it's a great day, my son's getting married. He goes, and I gave his friend some shoes and they fit great. I mean, he was really proud of that.
He tried one pair and he's like, I got another pair of that same size. And he said, John got two pairs of shoes.
I don't think our dads like that anymore. I mean, not, it's hard for us to like compare. But
my dad is I think my dad's a little younger than your guys' dad.
Well, my dad is like over 70.
Oh yeah, yeah. My dad's in his early 60s.
Okay.
But I shouldn't speak for Tim, but I think Tim is pretty entertained by my dad as well, because my dad just like he's got some really great stories, and he constantly is like, you just, like Tim always says, you don't mess with them. But he's got a very gentle side.
Stories, and then some of them do involve revenge, which
yeah.
Which is while entertaining at the same time. Like, I'm never going to cross Mr.
But yeah, but my family's like the fart humor that came a lot from my grandma, and you know, wow. Our family's always been like, because my grandma Minnie was a notorious fart, and have that really like duck sound to him. my grandma loved that, and then it's funny too, because somewhere on video, like, we have some of the like the Christmases and such, and I just remember that everyone, like, they gave one of my uncle, my uncle Ken, like a hat that said "Old Fart" or something. And then they give his son one that said "Old Farts Kid." And you know, so I mean, that kind of tells you. I mean, not the funniest joke, but you know, when you're a kid, that's kind of like what you said, Hokie. Like bringing home that book when you were a kid is hilarious. Yeah. Like an old fart hat is hilarious when you're a kid.
And if you need additional company, simply mail $2.50 with your return address to Apple Design Incorporated, 9822 Flum, Lenexa, Kansas 66215.
I found nothing online or on eBay.
Close to 9822 Flum. Isn't that like really close to our high school?
Yes.
Oh.
Wow, we've
like the walking distance of our high school.
Should we try to send something to that address and see if they still have it available?
It's probably a Quick Trip now or something.
You think?
So, yeah. Well, if anything, here's why we should. At the very end, that was like, so Uncle Mike, you know, closed the book and all that other stuff. But at the very end, there is like some serrated or like painted on serrated edges to this thing that is supposed to be detached. What is it for? Join today, the International Fraternal Association of Rectal Tutors. Fraternal Association of Rectal Tutors, FART for short. It's the only organization known and designed expressly and exclusively for people who fart. Send in your $2.50 lifetime membership fee and receive your very own personalized lifetime membership card.
Such a bargain.
By being a member, this is 85 money, by the way. By being a member, you will also receive all new information discovered through the science of fartology as it becomes available. Don't delay.
You know, I miss that too. Sorry to be sentimental again, but I miss that when you were a kid and it was all about the fan clubs.
Yeah, I joined I did the info club on Mystery Science Theater 2000.
Yeah, did you? What did you get? Did you get like a card and like newsletters and stuff? Or?
I got like when I first joined, I think I might have gotten like a poster or something. I don't know, but they had it was like a way to sell merch. So I bought like a bumper sticker and a couple of posters from it. It was really neat.
Can we start a Gonzo Guys fan club? Like a throwback one? With like ID info cards? Club.
If somebody wants to get a P.O. box, I'll be more than happy to do
that. I think we should. I think that would be funny because it's the throwback. Because I used to love that in comics because you would look in comic books and it would always have like the join the G.I. Joe. I was a part of the G.I. Joe club. You got like a poster and cards and you get updates.
Did you get the William the Refrigerator Perry? Because I know that's the only way you could get it.
Yeah, I did.
That's awesome.
It's funny because the figure is not that expensive on eBay. But it's probably one of my favorite figures of G.I. Joe's. Like that and the Sergeant Slaughter are just
Or in Russell's mind, it would be Sergeant Barter.
Yeah, he's just as tough. Just as tough. But so, on the last thing to say on Fart movie, I have to say it's a great movie. And I almost feel like when we do these podcasts, if we do have anyone that's listening, like if they want a copy of this, to just hit us up and we can burn one for them and send it. I mean, does that sound like?
Yeah, just
within whatever is legal in terms of being able to.
It would only be a legally produced copy that would be within bounds of copyright and such and forth.
Yes, yeah. we'll get our lawyers on it and make sure that it's.
I think if it's just a fun movie to watch, I mean, it'd be a fun movie to watch with a whole bunch of people too. But
it's a good
movie. Sorry, go ahead.
Good group movie.
Yeah, yeah, and Donald Jordan, I. That was his name of the guy that I'm enamored with. And his only other credit than Fart the movie is he has a credit for a writer, Out of This World. He wrote an episode in 1988 called The Illness.
Nice.
So Donald Jordan. There's gonna find you.
I think as we move away from this, we may be moving into our other
next topic. Yeah.
Scams, but I have a crossover.
Yeah.
I'm going to play a little sound from the late Leslie Nielsen, and he was very famous for bringing with him a fart machine.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
He would do TV interviews, and he would do press interviews with people, and he would use the fart machine to just make it screw up. And so I'm going to play this little clip he did with this guy who's trying to actually do, like, a serious interview with him, And uh-huh. he just kept going with it and kept going. It takes about a minute of him. And he did, every time the guy thinks that Leslie Nielsen's done with the joke, he's like, he finally figured out it's a fart machine. He's like, okay. But for a while, he doesn't realize it's a fart machine. He really thinks he's doing it. You can kind of tell by the way he talks. Then he figures it out, and then it just kind of keeps going. But it, I consider it a fart scam. So let me play this here. And just a second.
Wow, that was a tight little short fart.
I'll do the best I can. Also.
All right. We're getting near lunch, and I know you're yeah. close.
Well, it was the salmon. The salmon.
Is that you?
Well, I don't see anybody else in here. Excuse me. But you can show it. I don't care. I just don't care anymore. These things don't bother me.
All right. Well, then we'll start now. Then we'll begin.
Starter pistol. Keep your ears open.
All right, now we'll begin.
I'm beginning.
Talking with Leslie Nielsen.
Yes.
Plays the president.
Yes.
What's different about you and the real president?
One or two things. You're going to be great.
You know, I wanted to keep this serious.
Yes, I know. I'm helping.
There you go.
Oh, man. Why would anyone in an interviewer say that he was, you know, I want to keep this serious, and you're interviewing Leslie Nielsen
exactly.
for a scary movie? I mean, an idiot. Oh, my God, that was fun. I love Leslie Nielsen. I have some of the... old Police Squad VHSs too.
Oh man, that is amazing. That's like, people don't get that the Naked Guns were actually like a spinoff from the TV show.
Yeah, my dad hit me to that. My dad had really got that kind of silly kind of, my dad just always, I think my dad's where I learned like that appreciation for that kind of subtle comedy and the stuff that you don't always catch the first time.
Well, and my dad loved Benny Hill, and I watched the hell out of that. And
yeah, we did it too. I mean, because it was on HBO, wasn't it?
When
it
they showed it on your, like, UHF stations would show it quite a bit.
Would they? Okay.
Yeah, so it was on one of your UHF channels, like 41 in Kansas City, which is a UHF station.
But was it on HBO, or am I crazy?
They may have. HBO could have picked it up at some point. But I just remember it was on late at night on our, because it was before we had cable. I remember it being on late at night. It was right before the Late Late movie with like the knockoff Elvira lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
El Bubo? What was her name?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Oh, so, yeah. That's a great clip.
So Leslie Nielsen was scamming. I guess that's the other thing we're talking about today. Scams.
So Tim sent me an intriguing text earlier this week that he had something really gold. I hit gold with my personal. You what?
Leslie Nielsen was my gold.
Oh, okay, sorry.
My gold has been used.
Yeah, and I guess what started it was a snapshot of my spam mail folder, because it just made me money. I don't know if it gave insight into the psyche of me on top of it, but my spam folder is very one-sided on one specific item, needless to say. But John, you said that you had something like pretty awesome.
Yeah, I kind of went, because I have a lot of the same emails, because I have like Be in Full Control. I'm actually looking at my screenshot. I did some copy and paste. So I had like Be in Full Control of Your Ejaculation. Saucy Young College Hotties. My favorite one. Oh, and then something called Fuckbook. Friends Requests. Friends spelled incorrectly. Just wanted to add that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, scam people don't believe in spell checks. But this is one of my favorite ones. It's the subject line was "Scare people with your tool today."
What compels somebody to, like, you know what? Fuck my neighbors. They've been so behind my ass. They've been yelling at me because of my dog. You know, I'm gonna get this and scare the hell out of my ginormous cock.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go up and like, yeah. That was my favorite one. I just loved the whole. The wording of it, because I'm just like, well, first of all, why would I want to scare anyone? But So what I did is I took it a step further, and I was kind of asking you guys because I didn't want to, like, melt down my computer or, you know, by somehow having someone get into my system. Because I watched this – I can't remember what the name of the magazine was. I want to say it was, like, The Nerve or something like that, or the – I don't remember what it was called. But they had a show on MTV for a little while. It was kind of like a news program where they did a lot of fringe topics. And they did one on email scams, and they were showing how they milked people for money, and then and it was like it was in Nigeria, and how there's a whole like gangster culture around it, and it was really fascinating. But they were showing like how they you know, you think your drives, they take old computer parts, and they're like they sell computer parts at like a dump, like they had these like pallets full of stuff that they had salvaged, and you could buy, you know, people's information. But so I got one of my personal one in my junk one, and so I opened up a whole new email account just for the use of this topic to see where this would go. So do you guys want to hear the first one? I'll just kind of give you like a brief rundown, and yeah, then I'll kind of give you my replies, because they are replying to me, which is, so it is going back and forth, and it's from Mrs. Christy Walton. It starts out with "my dearest."
That's already funny.
Yeah, it's and there's lots. I mean, it's just riddled with misspellings and just crazy. So it says, "Greetings." And this is the typical scam with the, you know, I have this money, and all I need is a U.S. bank, and I'll give you a percentage of this money, right?
Yeah.
So she said, "My dearest, greeting to you, my dear brothers and sisters, the people of this good planet Earth. I am writing you email not to disturb you, but to ask for your assistance based on my personality and my present condition in life, and in particular, what I need doing for charity," charity in all caps. "I am Miss Christy Walton, the second richest woman in the world, am a great citizen of the United States of America, am bringing to you a proposal, which I want you to assist me with." And this is where it's not good, because I think there's a like you could put a certain amount in there and people would say, well, maybe it's legit. "I am worth $22.5 billion. I am the second richest woman in the world." So I don't know how she got my email, but I'm glad she did.
I'm amazed that I haven't heard anything about this person ever.
It goes into the sob story that condition is a cry for help, heart disease, blah, 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 blah. So please reply me back with your below details to enable us. Name, address, mobile number, occupation, God bless, right? So I went ahead and I responded. And my first response, I just simply put, oh, and by the way, I came up with the name of Johann Waldermus. kind of a homage to people I like. I like Johan Santana for the Mets, and I like Walt Flanagan. So I wrote, "Christy, wow, I am so excited about your email. I am in desperate financial trouble," that's true, "and would be happy to help you and help myself. Email me back your info and what you need from me so we can get this project rolling. I am honored that you chose me for this. God bless, Johan." Okay, so then the first one that I get back is amazing, and I can't really do the pictures, but they attach pictures, and three pictures, and like two of like this older lady with curly hair, and then a picture of her passport.
What?
So it's like there's three attachments. There's two pictures of this older lady with curly hair, and then a picture of a United States passport, and then her passport. And it says, "Hello, Johan. I received your email and quite understood the content therein. You see, as a matter of fact, I will like you to view my photographs, which I've attached with this email, for you to get proper view of me. If you know you're ready to help me in giving to charity, my 40% bank worth, which is $9 billion United States dollars, you can have yourself 20% of the funds, which is $1,800,000,000. So I don't know how much longer I'm going to be doing this podcast, because I'm going to have $1 billion to blow through, my friends. But it says, please kindly use your godly mind and assisting me, for you will have no problem whatsoever till the end of this transfer. So based on that, I want you to send me as an attachment a scanned copy of any form of you identity so that we can proceed further. Thanks, yours sincerely, Miss Christy Walton. Okay, so this is where the dickhead thing, the mean thing, well, not mean, this is very subtle. I'm not actually very subtle. So my response then was, first of all, I took a Google image of a passport and attached it. Just like a random Google image of the inside of some stamps. Christy, you are very stunning. I am surprised. I am very fond of older women and their lower catch. This is the meme. I'm very fond of older women and their lower catcher mitts.
Wait, their lower catcher mitts?
Yeah, old ladies, like, it looks like a catcher's mitt.
Wait, hold on. What was your name that you're posing as?
Johan Waldermus.
Which is the most female name I've ever heard on the planet.
No, Johan. Like, Johan, like...
Santana.
Yeah. Okay. So
I know, I was being funny, because it was like, Johan is a man's name.
Yeah, and it doesn't really seem to be fine. So, but yeah, I should have said it. I like older women, and their catcher mitts looks like Roy Campanella's mitt from the 50s. No, but here's a scan of my passport, and keep in mind the photo is just a random picture of just a whole bunch of stamps. I hope it works. If not, let me know. My scanner's not working properly, but I'm pretty sure this will work for you. I am looking forward to helping you and buying all my pets' gold chains with the money I receive. My godly mind is happy and spinning like Jewish top with all the good me and my families can do with this money. Yours truly in service of the Dark Throne, Johan. the gold chain, and then I wanted to put families plural, and then the Jewish top. I wanted to add that in there, which is a dreidel.
Oh, crap.
So, so I got another response.
You got a response?
Yeah, I got a response to that. And they sent me two attachments, but I'm not opening these because I don't. So these two attachments, then I can kind of see that they're trying to do these forms where they're trying to make it like certificate of deposit. Yeah. And it says, "Hello, Johan. Hope all is well with you and your family?" Question mark. It says, "I am overwhelmed to get your response because I've been waiting for God sent like you to help me reach out my charity project funds to the less privileged across the world. Wow. I will be most appreciative if you will be definite in giving your assistance to me on this project of mine. To ensure that we can join hands together to provide help to the poor citizen in your country and also to the world at large." So it goes into this long thing about it's a bank fixed deposit account in the U.S. And it says, "I have in this respect contacted my attorney and he wants me to, yeah, blah, blah, blah." Then they're sending like, "Barrister David Watt, Esquire, and I am present writing this email to you in pains, but I have tried as much to make sure the details you will need in this process of fund transfer is completely entailed here." And so, they gave a phone number. I just saw that.
Uh-oh.
"I will be awaiting a response in this regard, and you can also rich me." I can rich him. It says, "You can also reach me through my other cell number," and they gave it. It says, "It is always with my doctor, Mr. Smith Patrick, due to my present state of health." So that was the last response that I got, these two attachments.
What are the attachment names?
The attachment names are View Certificate of Deposit from FIBI Bank and View FIBI Account Statement.
Is that like a web page link or?
Well, it looks like they're just attached. It doesn't look like
.zip or .exe.
Yeah. It's just because it's like download as a zip or view as a slideshow. So so those were the phone number is kind of crazy. I didn't notice that there was a phone number in it. So I was told, someone goes, oh, well, yeah, they're probably used to people kind of, you know, messing with them. But I wonder if there's somebody somewhere that's thinking, like, they really got a big one on the line, you know?
You got a lunker.
So what do you guys think? Should I respond to that one as well?
If you can keep doing it without opening attachments or having given them any real information, at some point they're real pissy and pushy with you, or they'll stop responding.
Well, I saw a show on Dateliner 20 years ago, or that the guy, they had a certain fund, and they really kept going with it to try to con, and they finally ended up meeting with the person. And then when they saw him, that they were with the camera, they were just like, no, no, you know, and were real freaked out. But there was all these sketchy things. But that show that I saw, like, they also showed, like, it's a lot of it, it's like there's like a culture, like, they'll get on the phone and they'll use like voice disguisers and such to sound like women. But yeah, so that's it's really been kind of a crazy.
I wonder if there's some way to record that phone call.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that would be interesting. But I almost wouldn't want to. This would be horrible. I'd be like, I'll just call from work so they don't have my number. To be like, somebody needs at least a virus.
I don't think there'd be a virus on the phones, but
they could reverse the charge to your company, though. You'd be like, who called Nigeria for 7 hours?
I think it's the new guy. I think it's probably one of those damn temps. They're always doing that kind of shit. But, yeah, so I don't know. I probably will respond to it. But it's interesting because it kind of looks like it's just form emails. And I don't know, like, when I'm going to get some real personal. I mean, that's why I kind of added some weird shit in there.
Just I keep hearing, I'd send something back real personal. Like, ask something very, 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 very specific.
Yeah.
See if they.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I mean, they've kind of opened the conversation with the catcher's mitt, so you might as well just kind of take the ball and go with it, you know what I mean?
Well, my pet, my pet,
as foul and as raw as possible, just like disgusting stuff, put it in there and see what happens.
Yeah, or I could go Harlequin romance novel and say, I'm writing this to you, Miss Walton, in the middle of the night, your picture has been haunting me. Like that kind of a thing. And
You say Harley, don't you mean, and now it's 50 Shades of, get all 50 Shades of Grey on it, is what it is.
50 Shades of Scam.
Exactly.
But so the question is, have you guys ever fallen prey to a scam like that? Because I did some research yesterday. I did something out of my wheelhouse for the show, besides starting a dummy email account for Johann Walton.
that is perfectly in the wheelhouse.
But I even went further yesterday.
Oh, yeah? It doesn't involve cock hounds, does it?
I wish.
you should send back an email with an attachment of the cover of that movie.
Well, you know what, though? But if I remember correctly, the cover doesn't really...
Well, I'm movie thinking, justice.
I'm just thinking, just send it back and see what they do. Like, they ask for another, like, picture of your ID or something. Send them a picture, a copy of that movie.
Of a woman dressed like a dog eating a
wiener.
Here's my ID. Well, I thought that the stamps were gonna agitate them, where they'd be like, no, dummy.
Yeah.
You know, your scan.
Try to send them back some hardcore porn.
Yeah, maybe try that. I kind of want to go almost like that almost feels like if they get rude, I could do that. But I don't know.
Well, I mean, I guess you can be subtle, but I'd go ahead and keep putting just kind of bizarre sexual, overtly sexual things into your...
Okay. I will, it could be like...
We'll require updates on these.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
It was John's scam email update.
If no one hears from me for a while, I'm probably being beheaded publicly in Nigeria.
Well, you'd have to, at least
from Africa next week.
Live via satellite.
Satellite from a prison can. John!
Again?
Oh, man.
But the one that I did a little further thing yesterday, and I don't really know if this is a scam, and I don't know how much you guys have it in Austin and in Kansas, but out here it's really rampant, where they have people outside of grocery stores and Walmarts with little tables set up for donations.
Wow, really? That's new.
Yeah. You guys don't have that?
No, I haven't heard that before.
Well, in California, like, and there's, like, the Walmart here in Livermore has actually posted a sign that says, we don't allow people, you know, as a courtesy to our customers, we don't allow people to ask, you know, for donations for charity outside. Ask us why. So they basically they've made it. But out here, like, it is, you can't really go out of a grocery store or Walmart without somebody asking you to donate. And there's varying degrees. And like CVS and like those pharmacies and such are like that too. And it's usually for the homeless or for a woman's shelter. So I came out of Trader Joe's and there was a guy out there who had one, a table set up, and he was asked for money because he was like working for a halfway house, and he was he said he was a former drug addict, and he had this, and most of them are really kind of fly by the pants, and they seem to have like a lot of like the old army ammo boxes, and for their changing, and this one was a little better because he had a poster printed up, and it had a picture of him and his wife, like now that they're doing well and they're on their feet, and then a picture of them. When they were heroin addicts. And the sad thing was, the woman looked prettier in her heroin addict picture than she does.
Did she look a lot? Did she look a lot like Heather?
Heather?
No, not really. She kind of had Heather hair, though, but I think that was just maybe, you know.
You've been doing she was an addict, man, the way she acted in that movie.
She was a cheat. Remember what Russell says, though, in the movie? To bring it back, he says, you're obsessed with my obsession.
Yes.
And it bloomed, and they played it a couple times. During
the yeah, party. And the echoes. You're obsessed with my obsession.
But, yeah, so I asked the guy some questions. Because I was kind of like, I don't know how much I believe their shit. But, so he was, and I still don't know if I was, I gave him, like, some change, you know, so it was no big deal. But, I mean, he seemed pleasant enough, and it wasn't, but you always have to wonder, and I don't, I mean, it's sad. Like, we all are kind of on the alert for that kind of thing, for the scam. But
yeah,
so
I mean, it's bum heaven down here, and, like, half the guys, like, look like they're legitimately messed up, and the other half are like, I don't know. Looks like you're just trying to make some beer money.
Well, and you know, what's strange is you think about, like, as a homeless guy, like, eating-wise, like, this is a great time. Because if I ever got, like, homeless, like, the dollar menu has got to be, like, the best thing in the world for, like, homeless guys.
Yeah.
Because if you can panhandle, like, $3 or $4, you can eat for a day easily.
Yeah, but they could get a really cheap bottle of vodka, though. For that price as well.
I would be one of the oddest homeless men. I'm like, I don't drink. He's just
gonna, the people would like look at you with disdain and say, don't give that to him, he's just gonna spit it on McDonald's.
Yeah, he's just gonna go get two cheeseburgers and he's gonna go practice his tennis serve because that's the only possession he has is his tennis racket.
And then he's gonna go to the library and respond to scam emails.
Then he's gonna call his dumb friends on a borrowed cell phone. Record a podcast. Yeah, no, I don't know. But so you guys have never been? Have you guys? Do you guys donate money when people ask you? Like when you see, or I mean, do you guys donate? Do you donate to anything?
It has to be real, real, real legit.
Like I would say that I would say the level of guilt that would actually affect me would be when my friends ask me to donate for something that they're doing. And even then, it's like 50%. I'm kind of an asshole, so.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being in an argument with my mom. It's one of my most famous arguments with her, because I don't argue with her a lot. But, you know, when the Candle in the Wind Elton John CD came out for Princess.
Oh, fuck that.
I told her, I'm like, Mom, that's a crock of shit. And she was like, well, all the money goes to her fund. I'm like, no, it doesn't. I'm like, people have to get paid. Like, there's maybe like 2 cents of
that's
going to actually go to the charity. And she just, and I'm not like I had any idea what I was talking about, you know. But
well, and that's kind of like Red Cross, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've heard people who've worked close with the Red Cross and saying that after they get done like volunteering and stuff, they wouldn't give money to the Red Cross again because. Not because it's scammy, but because it's so poorly mismanaged and they don't, you know, they really don't have their shit together. But still, you know, you see on the TVs, you see, you know, text this number to automatically send $10 to the Red Cross. It's like, God, you know, in some aspects, that seems kind of scammy.
Well, and it just all goes to overhead.
Yeah. Yeah.
It, like, the dollar makes it to the people. It's like, I got
when I was riding home from work one day, I figured on my bike I would limit the amount of panhandling I'd get. This guy, I'll give him credit, he actually was able to somehow panhandle me while I was riding past him.
Wow.
And he was on foot, mind you. And I usually keep a buck or some change with me all the time just to give them, so I have something. Because if I do have, sometimes there are some people like that'll ask you for money and you say, no, I can't do it, and you keep going. But then those people get ornery about it, and it's like, I'd rather just give them like 50 cents and get the hell away from them before it decides to like rob me.
Well, like the aggressive panhandling is scary. There are people that do really aggressive.
Well, my usual move is like if I can ride and I can see a ways because it's flat here. But if I see somebody like we can ride on two sides of this thing at some points, and I kind of look around, and if I see anybody sketchy on one side, I'll just go out of my way to go to the other side and ride because it's like a little
creepy. Or do a wheelie over them.
Well, and I also think I'll get going really, really fast, and I can just buzz by. Like, if they don't know I'm coming, I'll just be like, pass it on your right, and I'm already gone before they can even be like, hey, I got to catch the bus, I got to get that, whatever the choice choice scam of the day is. And it's like, but this guy, I don't know how he got me. I'm still trying to figure out how the hell he got me.
Did you stop?
I'm not sure if he was too close to me or if I was just watching him. I don't know what the hell happened. All I know is I ended up giving him a buck.
Yeah, that's a pro.
And then I rode real quick because I was just like, okay, next time, this is kind of like, that was when I was like, okay, well, now I need to watch this bridge because there's a couple spots where you can cross over and otherwise it's like a creek in between. Uh-huh. And I was like, I need to watch that bridge particularly because it's hard to tell if someone's coming across from the other side. I was like, okay. And a lot of times it's just kids walking home from school. And it isn't a bad neighborhood, but a lot of times it's kids walking home from school. And I don't worry about that, but no, this guy, I don't know how the hell he got me to slow down.
He was well versed in the art of panhandling.
He's a pro. He got a buck, and then I just, you know.
Tim, just tell the truth. He showed you his weenie, and you slowed down for him. He showed you his bum wiener, and you were like, ooh.
Well, you know, he must have gotten another email that you got, because it scared me.
No, wieners. Should've just farted.
Took that supplement. No, that was my chair movement.
Oh.
I could say it was, and it'd probably be hilarious, but it's not.
Oh, man. So I haven't really been, like, victim to that many scams. I don't know. It's because I live half my life on the internet anyway. So I catch, no pun intended, I catch wind of it really quick. And I usually tend to avoid that. So I haven't really, like, got caught up into it. So
I got caught up in one, not really caught up super badly or anything like that, but it was in the days when I want to say it was either Friendster or MySpace were kind of big, and I mean I didn't get caught up to the point where I was like milked, but now like I don't know, just on Facebook, like I'm on there like right now and I see these friend requests and it's like, they must have done a better job because there's all these different like women like be my friend and they're like kind of like sexy bikini pictures. Do you guys get those?
I get those more. I used to get them a lot on MySpace.
Yeah, and I had one that was sent to me. I'm gonna make myself look like a total idiot. Where I got contacted from this in my personal email from this woman, and she said, "I know this sounds crazy, but you know you know, you look like one of my friends, and I lost my friend." And I remember being like, it just, there was something about the writing, and I was so naive, but I was like, oh, that sounds kind of legit. That's kind of odd. And I remember showing it to my boss I worked with at the library, and he was like, wow, that's kind of, you should respond back. It was like, I don't remember what came of that. If I did, I think I might have actually responded back to it. But there was that weird little second where I thought, maybe this is legit. So I mean, I can see how people, you know, I mean, I guess you think about if you're really lonely and old and everything, that it could definitely happen. But yeah, I don't know. And it what's interesting, I also, and I got to stop saying, you know, it's interesting. But I was looking up, there was a lady that was scammed from a Nigeria place, and she lost a ton of money. And like all of her husband's retirement. and like mortgaged her home and just did all this. It was just ridiculous. But what I don't understand is, how do people have the money to do these things? Like, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, I mean, and how are people, if you're that stupid to be taken in on a scam, how do you have the money? How did you make that much money in your life?
Inheritance, you know, maybe? Trust fund?
Maybe. What? I mean, yeah.
Maybe it's somebody who didn't have... It's somebody who didn't have a computer, and they figure if I buy this machine, that there's people who assume, who are not computer literate or savvy, who assume that if you get email in your Yahoo email, it has to be legitimate.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, I'm sure it's less and less than it used to be, but when these first started kicking around, a lot of people thought, well, I signed up for there, and they wouldn't let an email come in that wasn't legitimate.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people they call around and they do the same stuff too. And I guess if they have money sitting around, they just kind of stocked it away, and they made, and I think there was a time when people didn't call you on the phone at random as much. You know?
Well, and this lady lost $400,000, and she was contacted because she had lost touch with one of her family members, like a great grandma, and she was contacted that they had left this money for her. So she just, and people kept telling her, stop doing it. So it started out with $100, but it just kept steamrolling. And it was the same kind of scam like what they're trying to work with me, you know, where it's like, we're going to give you a percentage of this money.
This guy's $100 now, and you know what, we need an extra $2,000 to get this processed. And then,
right.
Yeah.
$1 million back. Just give us the $2,000 and we'll get it taken care
of. I looked up the number too that I can't find the link now, but it was saying how many millions a year that people are you know, out of money from these kind of scams. And it actually was lower than I thought it was going to be. I don't remember what the exact total was, but I think that people are a lot more wise these days as far as with scams. But I mean, I don't, it's just, it's strange. It's so I still get calls. Like, I got a call, like, in the last 6 months. I kept seeing the number on the phone, and I finally just, my curiosity got the best of me. And I answered it, and the guy said that I had won, I don't know, something like $4 million or something. Or it might have been, like, $400,000. It was something, because to me, like, the lower the number, the more it's like, you know.
Yeah, I'm not, it seems more plausible, instead of, yeah, like, $9 billion.
Right. And I'm not saying that I'd fall for it, but I think if you're going to do it, that would be the smarter thing, is to make it in the realm of the existing, you know. And so, and I said, really? I said, well, how did I win this? He said, well, you entered this contest. I said, I haven't entered a contest for it. Which one was it? I'm curious. Can you tell me which entry it was? And, well, it was a contest. And it just kind of kept, it was like that circular argument. And he says, and also, he goes, if you send us the shipping, it's $900 for the shipping. He goes, and you will get a 2011 Mercedes. What? And I go, really? As a bonus? And he goes, and I said, well, I don't have $900 to send you for shipping right now. Oh, well, we could take a credit card. And, and I'm like, I don't really believe. I'm like, and you're going to give me a card? He goes, yeah. Like I'm an asshole. You know? And I go, well, I need some proof. I said, why don't you give me some proof? He goes, well, I'll put my shipping guy on the phone with you. I go, now, wait a minute. Like, how do I know that you're not just I'm like, you're just going to hand it to the guy sitting right next to you. Or you, no, it's my shipping guy. And I'm like,
hold your hand over your mouth and be like, this is the shipping guy.
Yeah. And it was
like, hey,
it was
not Detroit. What's going on here?
It was such a fascinating, like, study for me. Like, there was that really weird human element where I'm just like, wow, does this work for this guy before? What is going on? And so then he's like, well, would you want to talk to my supervisor? And I'm like, yeah, I do, actually. Because I'm like, okay, I'm going to see this one through. I want to see what, you know, how far they're going to go. And she got on the phone, and she was just a raving bitch to me. She's like, you're not believing that we're there. I'm like, well, no. I'm like, I don't remember entering a contest. You know, I'm playing, like, I'm trying to play along. I'm not that good of an actor, but I think I'm okay. But but so I was trying to make it sound kind of like, you know, well, maybe I'm gullible. And then they kind of, I think then they kind of, she wisened up that I was like
fucking, you know, with you.
I wasn't, yeah, that I was fucking with them. And I don't really look at it as that I was fucking with them, but it's just, I would just,
it was, you know, time you kept them from harassing somebody else, though, which is good. So.
Yeah, but it just, there was just that weird curiosity, like, how far will they take this? And how, and they do give up pretty quickly. Because she said, well, I'll transfer you to my supervisor, then hung up.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that line whenever I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm going to transfer you to my supervisor. Click, click.
Kelly calls you to yell at you, and then you, let me transfer you to my supervisor, and you hang up on your girlfriend.
Yeah, Well, yeah, because she knows what supervisor. She is my supervisor. What are you talking about?
We get calls at the.
Well played, my friend.
Thank you.
We get calls at work sometime, and they want to know what our copier model number is. And what, if you sit, tell them what it is, they ship you like a pallet of toner for it, and then they try to bill you for it.
Oh, and so, I remember that one.
They call you, but they say, but they call you with the guise of there's a new manual out for your machine, and they need to send it to you, but they got to confirm your model number. I'm like, well, and they called, and I said, they told me that, and I knew it was a scam, and I said, shouldn't you know what the model number is if you know which guide to send me?
Yeah.
And then this is where it got weird. And I said, I hung up, and they called back with the same thing. Well, we just need to give you this guide for your machine. And I said, you don't even know which machine it is. And they said, we're just trying to give you the guide, sir. You need it. And I'm like, if you're going to scam me, you don't yell at me on the phone. And I said, you yelling at me just proves you're not legitimate. And I hung up, and they actually called back one more time. And they're like, you don't think, what if something goes wrong and you need this manual for your machine? And it's like, I said, I'll call the people we have a contract with it on who know what machine it is. And they didn't call back after that.
Well, do they think that they get like angry and strong arm you that you're going to cave?
There'll be people who break, like they'll get somebody meek, kind of a little more meek on the phone.
Or new maybe. The secretary is kind of new and like.
This professional business with is going to yell at you over a manual.
No.
And well, that, if you don't know what machine I have, how do you know the manual that there's a new manual for it? But that happens from time to time. But you have to be careful. But some of the people who do that at businesses, all they sometimes try to get you to do is audibly say the word yes, and then they record it, and they go back and piece together a phone conversation and ship it.
That is insane. See, I guess it's because I only communicate in email, or I have a very I've worked in IT and I work in program. I don't get any of this. I am amazed. That would happen. That is amazing.
I've been at offices where the email has come around. They said, if somebody is calling saying that they're from this place, hang up immediately, you know, because...
Don't say yes or no, just hang up.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to say, like, I've been at my current place for 3 years, a little over 3 years, and I don't think I've ever had any of those calls. It's the first place I've lived where I've worked where those haven't gotten through, but they can sneak through.
For sure.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's the amount that people, and I guess it's like anything. I mean, it's probably worked at some point. That's why they keep doing it. So, I mean, you know, but I mean, it's just like, you know, you're casting out a really wide net, like I would be fascinated to see the numbers, like 1 out of 2,000 works. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, if I'm going to scam people with a copier thing, I would have been like, when the person says, well, why wouldn't you know the model number? You'd be like, well, the system says you're due for a new manual and it shows that's model, and I'd make up a model number. And we'd just make sure we're sending you the right one. And the last thing I'm going to do is yell at them.
Yeah. Well, it's just like backstories in bad movies. You know, it's like, just take a second and come up with a backstory. You're like, oh, well, our systems went down and we lost a lot of this information. I mean, that's a better thing to do than be like, I'm trying to help you, motherfucker.
I mean, it's really about that level. I mean, they were yelling.
Wow, and to think, all I had to bring for the scams was just an email from somebody named Enlarge with Free Sample, and the subject is, ask Rimming the Easy Way.
Which, I don't know, like, what the hard way is to do that.
I couldn't tell you, because I've never asked for it before.
Well, you don't.
Oh, sure you have.
You don't want to know the hard way.
By the way, they give a little bit more in the message. So it was ask for me the easy way, and then it's vids from yacht party. http://biggerdicky.com. That's all I get. Seriously, most of my spam stuff or scammy stuff is all about big penis pills. Get bigger with promo. Sex will never be the same again. Or. Wow.
The way to actually enlarge your member is to actually have a surgery done. and you're only going to get like an inch or two, because it's like it's been proven on, I don't know what, it wasn't Mythbusters.
Listen, I'm not saying it was me, but somebody did a lot of research into this, and I can tell you this.
Enlargement I got one from Enlargement Supplement P. Tim Russert's sex scandal exposed at funeral. Crazy girls gone wilder. http://bigspenile.com.
I get a lot of the, you know, I've won money in the lottery. I get a lot of those.
I don't get, and it seems like you get, it seems like you get attacked more than anybody else, really.
Because he has, that's because he has ongoing, because he and Johan have ongoing conversations with all.
So now they pass his email on, and he's like, I think we got a live one here.
This Johan guy's right there.
Since I've opened that, there haven't. I was expecting there to be a flood.
You know what you should do is really get some interesting stuff. Go to a bunch of places where they have you register for things and throw that email in there, and you'll just get bombarded with email.
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to register you for some homosexual.
Again?
Have you guys ever done that? Have you guys ever, like, scammed somebody else? Have you scammed anybody else? I have not. I don't know if I've actually scammed. I might have intentionally fucked with somebody else, but I don't know if I've scammed somebody else at an
individual something. I did the Beanie Baby thing, which I think I talked about in the first episode. We did the placing the ad for the rare Beanie Babies and put our friend's number in there.
Oh, yeah.
And they ate up his answering machine, but... No, I don't know. I almost have to. I know I probably have done something.
I haven't scammed. I don't think I've scammed anybody in the sense of like criminal activity. I'd have to be more like a prank of some kind.
Certainly, if you're criminal, you're not going to admit it on here.
Oh, I would. I'm not very bright.
There's actually, I take that back. There's probably something I could cop to, but I don't. I'm not going into that here.
Well, I know that when I was a kid, our neighbor. Was kind of a jerk, and he hated country music. We used to always sign him up for anything country music wise. I don't remember what the name of the station is in Wichita. It's like KFHK or something like that.
Yeah.
But they used to, like, we would be at a fair, we were like, let's sign, I mean, this is like when we were kids, and we're like, let's sign him up for it. Ha ha ha. And so he would get, you know, country western things and stuff in the mail. But that's not the name.
I used to, when I was a kid, I used to call the 800 numbers in the back of products in the summer. And try to complain about
it. That's awesome.
Tim, the 9-year-old consumer. Tim, because I always think
what the whole angle was, if I just called and asked them stupid questions, but it was just like, hey, here's a phone number and it's free. Let me call and see what happens.
We used to do the prank phone calls and stuff back in the day. And yeah. I remember staying at my friend's house and this is so horrible, but my friend's grandpa had passed away, and for some reason he had some of his old credit cards or his credit cards.
Oh, no.
And they tried to call a phone sex number, and I remember listening on the line, and the lady, you know, they were trying to make it sound like they were older, and then the lady, it was so funny because she just goes, why don't you call back when you're 18, honey? And she hung up on
What?
Yeah,
what?
But
why is it trashy women always end everything with the word honey? I don't get it.
Because it's wonderful.
Honey.
Because it's but you know what though? I like that. When I am at my work, I sometimes have to talk to ladies in the South, and when they call you sweetie and honey, it's like, oh, it's kind of nice. I like
sugar tits.
yeah. They call me what would it be, like cinnamon balls? Man's version, rather than sugar tits, cinnamon balls. Yes, I don't really think I did work in telemarketing for a little while, and that is the absolutely worst job.
I signed up people for a seminar once for a financial advice seminar. It was legit. I mean, it really was like Merrill Lynch or somebody's seminar. But yeah. But my God, it was people. You want to talk? That's awful.
Yeah, and I remember my call. It was a credit card, and I got called in. I got in trouble because I wasn't persistent enough, because you had to get 2 no's, I believe, before you could actually hang up or let them go. And I would get these nice old ladies, and I would just be like, okay, have a good night. You know, I'm not very good at being like,
manipulative.
Yeah. And so I called one, and this guy like totally turned the tables on me. and he was he had this like Boston accent, and he goes, and he just turned and goes, "Oh yeah, you're turning me on. So, oh, I'm so totally jacking off right now." Then he goes, "Say finance, say credit card again," and he kept saying it over and over. And I was like, "I'm hanging up on this one." It's like,
oh, and God. Then he's like, "Oh, Heather, where are you? Where's Heather?"
And to tie it all in, it was Russell.
And then put a bow on that package.
It wasn't too much longer after that that I left. I guess it still exists, but I don't really get telemarketing that much anymore.
I don't answer. We get calls that are definitely telemarketing, but everything has caller ID anymore, so we just, if I don't know it, I'm not going to answer it. Let it go.
The guy called. Well, I have a huge echo right here.
I think that might be you,
Tim.
Is it me? Hang on, let me see if I can adjust some stuff.
How's that?
Check anyone? So do you think that we've covered our topics enough?
I think we covered them both pretty thoroughly.
So. Yeah. I was a little long winded on the scams. And
no.
I was amazed. You have way more knowledge about scams than I do. And
that's a good segment if I've ever heard of one. Right there.
That's a what?
We're going to require updates on this.
Oh, so. So I'll keep it going.
Hey, speaking of updates, I watched the new Doctor Who last week. I didn't watch it this week yet. I'll watch it tonight. I might give an update next week on it. I don't know. Depends on what I'm doing.
I watched part of Nerdist the other night and fell asleep. And they were talking about Doctor Who, but I hate that Chris Hardwick. I know you like him.
I don't know. I don't have ill winds toward him.
I will definitely give you guys updates on it, and maybe I guess we haven't really gone into what our next topic will be, but maybe we'll figure it out.
What do we think? Anybody got any ideas to toss out? We can always change it because it's our show. So
yeah, like, post it on the Facebook page, or let's figure out something right now. I don't know.
Anybody who might be listening to us that's not the three of us.
So that would be like four people then, right?
They could throw something up. They could go to the Twitter account and message us, or they could go to Facebook, or where else can they go? Vimeo?
Carrier Pigeon.
Out there.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating, but I do know there's a few people listening. One of my buddies who works at the comic shop said that he started listening to the first episode, and he said it was funny. So, you know, slowly. And we're three away from 30 likes on Facebook.
Yeah, so like us on the Facebook.
Once we get that fan club going with the card, then
it'll be running.
That's a good idea. Yeah. That's the other thing. Like, we can set up an email newsletter on the website too if we wanted to, but I think we'd have to have the kind of demand that warrants it.
We're working on that part of it.
I'm gonna try to find out if, like, I don't think this company's in business still, but I definitely want to join the International Fraternal Association of Rectal Tutors. That'd be kind of fun to try to track that down. You know, to be completely honest, like, with football season starting, I'm having sports on the brain like a motherfucker. I think that might be a pretty good topic if we don't get a good topic for next week. Only because it's like we're all in fantasy leagues, and some of us may have, like, played it as a kid, and I really want to hear the tie stomping story again too. So
say all things sports next week.
Maybe that might be a good thing.
update
on John Scam.
Yes, yeah. Let's do that. That sounds great.
All things sports and update, and then we need some what do we need to go out on here? Life's gas? Is that what we're looking for?
I guess that's what we're doing. I mean, what else can we do? Like, scam stuff? I mean,
can I hear Don one more time?
Would you like to hear Don one more time?
Yeah, please.
Let's do a little, where's Mr. Don here? He was called Fluff the Buns Man, wasn't he? There he is.
What?
Buns, ready?
I'm Fluff the Buns Man.
When he fluffs their buns.
do a remix of that.
You can mix him in. I could send MP3 of that.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be hearing farts mixed into songs because we are actually talking about farts.
Well, I was going to tell you, the Life's a Gas song is, I think when I clipped it from the beginning of the movie, so there are probably parts that are...
Okay, so it doesn't, it's standalone.
From the movie, so I took out some of the longer silent parts just to make the song all mashed together, but there are parts of him just ripping them, so...
Okay, well there you go, and then you could start it out with the necrophilia and then go away.
We could always start it out with necrophilia.
Can I hear that clip?
Necrophilia?
Yeah. Necrophilia.
On request. We'll do this and we'll go into Life's Gas.
All right.
Like necrophilia, everybody has a really great fart story.
Wow. Yeah. Until next week.
All right.
Next week, all things sports and scam updates.
Yep. Wait. All right.
Meatloaf.